Excellent. Thank you so much, Molly, for an excellent Bible reading. Hello, 6 p.m. It's wonderful to be here and opening the Word of God with you. My name is Isaac. If you don't know me, please come say hi after the service. I'm normally found on a red chair. I kind of, maybe not on a couch these days, but sometimes. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Please keep your Bibles open as we go through the Word of God together. We're continuing our series of When We Pray, looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. As a refresher for us, over the last 6 weeks, we've explored what it means to pray in the quiet place, to pray as Jesus taught his disciples, to fast, to forgive, and to last week, to give Jesus the things that distract our hearts and pull us away from loving and obeying him. Tonight, we get to continue that series together. If you have a Bible with you, please keep it open. If you have a digital copy, that is also welcome as well. I'm going to pray again because we always need God's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are great and mighty and worthy of all praise. Thank you for your words found here in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. Please help me to explain the passage clearly as I should, and may your Spirit be at work in our hearts so that we can be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name and by his blood we pray. Amen. Excellent. Well, levels in stress and in worry in Australia are alarming. A recent survey in Australia conducted by the Australian Psychological Society found lower levels of well-being and higher levels of stress, depression and anxiety symptoms in our general population. Young adults, that's me, people aged 18 to 25, consistently reported lower levels of well-being, with personal finance issues, health issues, and family issues at the top of that tree. But also speaks to a broader issue across all age groups as well. 72% of Australians feel that stress impacts their physical health, and 64% of Australians, their mental health, with very few reported actually seeking professional help. More than 1 in 10 Australians reported keeping up with social media networks actually contributed to their overall levels of stress too. So I guess the point is that we worry about so many things. Careers, should I do this uni course? Should I do that uni course? What job should I take? Is it that job, in that sector? Should I work less days in the week? Maybe you worry about relationships as well. Who should I hang out with? Should I date this person or that person? Who's going to be in my friendship group? Some of us are also perfectionists here tonight. I can be one of those at times. There's people with an eye for detail, but can be slightly annoying as well. You parked your car a bit crooked. You have a stain in your shirt. That font is not quite right. We worry also about our appearance. What will I wear this morning? What will I even wear to church? Will I shave or not shave? Clearly, I haven't in a while. Worry can cause us at times to actually lose sleep and actually get scratchy with people. Maybe the feeling of worry is like being drawn in different directions, arming and ahhing over a big decision, being pulled apart from the inside. Inside out, as the time counts down to that fateful decision you have to make, whatever context that may be. It might be that voice in your head that says, did I really close that fridge door? Did I turn off the stove? Did I unplug the computer? Or maybe something bigger, your savings account, your future, your job, our relationships with each other. We're concerned over many things, and life is full of worries. So wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to be consumed by our worry? What would it look like to prayerfully respond to the things we worry about? Why is it not worth getting consumed by worry? Our passage tonight gives us some insight. Why is it not worth getting consumed by worry? Firstly, we have a God who says that we are precious and of value. Secondly, a God who provides for us. And lastly, a God who has an eternal kingdom plan. Yep, I've got three P's there, so you can write them down and remember them. But firstly, we've seen our passage tonight that life is more than the essentials. It's not a P, but it will suffice for now. From verse 25 to verse 27, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Right from the start, Jesus comes out boldly. He boldly says that do not worry about your life and the essential things that life consists of. He also questions where we place life's essentials with the use of a rhetorical question. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? We may hear this and instinctively say, yeah, of course, life is definitely more about other things, just instead of those basics. I've got bigger things to worry about. I've got a rent to pay, a job to keep up with an intense workload, uni classes to attend, a partner to look after. But I actually suspect these crucial life essentials of food and clothing do actually take up a lot of our waking and breathing moments. We're very well off in this area of the world, in this city. We have places called supermarkets and appliances like air fryers and even that late-night kebab store down the road. But we all have to contend with these concerns. You only have to look at the explosion of food services like DoorDash or HelloFresh or Uber Eats to see the price we are collectively willing to pay to see these needs relieved in the name of convenience. These worries about the essentials would actually be more stark for the people in the day that Jesus is talking to. A good portion of their life was actually spent thinking about the needs of that day, those daily needs. Where was the food going to come from? Would they need to slaughter a goat? Do you need to scrounge up money to run to the open air market? Do I need to share with a neighbour my food? They have to think about a daily life in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense to our modern brains and our culture. We are further removed from the farmyard and the sweatshop, but these worries about the essentials can become consuming. Nevertheless, Jesus is challenging this ingrained sense of worry over these material things. These foundational things in life shouldn't consume us. They are the daily needs, but they shouldn't be our singular focus, as we will continue to discover in our passage. That is why Jesus points to the birds of the air to allay such worries. Jesus illustrates how precious and cared for we are by God. Please follow as we read the next verse. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you no much more valuable than they? Can any of you add a single hour to your life? Look at the birds of the air. We are asked here to zoom in on one part of God's creation, this one small part. The birds, they don't plant food, they don't stockpile up resources, but God is actually so pleased to feed them. God knows his creation, his good creation, as the sovereign and almighty creator. So if the birds, however small, are cared for and valued by God in this way, how much more valuable must we be then? We are the image bearers of God, created in his likeness. We are the very good part of God's creation. Adam, all the way back in Genesis, even gets to name all the livestock, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals. And God is actually so gracious to us, values us so much that he would actually send his son to die for us. Even when we were his enemies, God sent his son into the world that he created to live and then to die on the cross so that we can be forgiven for our rebellion against him. We are renewed and brought into relationship by the sacrifice and the creator and maker of the heavens and earth. Yeah, that picture and the perspective of who God is should actually help allay our worries, that mindset. If God is so sovereign over the universe that even feeding of a wren falls within his loving care and concern, how much more can be said for us? God wants us to trust in his goodness and care. Every good thing ultimately comes from him. We are reminded of how God views and sees us. We are precious to him and can approach him with confidence. We pray out of knowing this position before God. We are precious to him. Why is it not worth getting consumed by worry? Firstly, we are precious to God. Secondly, in our passage tonight, God provides for us. Why is it not worth getting consumed by worry? God provides for us. Again, another traditional life essential is quoted to us in this passage. This time, it's clothing. And Jesus once again uses a rhetorical question. And why do you worry about clothes? He then follows with another example or an illustration to help us focus in on who God is in this moment. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus uses this picture, another part of God's creation, to once again show our value in God's eyes, but how invested that God actually is in providing and sustaining us. God cares for the birds, and now he cares and clothes the fields with perishable flowers, which are even more beautifully clothed compared to Solomon in all his splendor. And this comparison is pretty incredible because Solomon in the Old Testament, who we actually generally associate with the gift of wisdom that God gives him, was actually fabulously adorned and wealthy as well. Jesus' Jewish listeners would have known well the stories of Solomon's great wealth and extravagant living in Israel's glory days. In your own time, you can flick to 2 Chronicles 9, 3 to 4, or 1 Kings 10. Not only was Solomon clothed in the best finery in the world, his kingdom flowed with gold and silver. He lived in great luxury. Still, Jesus insists that the splendor of these lilies and the beauty of them surpasses even Solomon's, though they do nothing to put it on. They don't work, they don't spin to make their clothes. So, if God adorns the flowers of the field even more beautifully than that of Solomon in all his brilliance, which are here one day and then gone the next, won't he much more clothe us? In relation to our worry, Jesus has been showing us that it accomplishes nothing. It doesn't add hours to the day. Other translations say you can't add a cubit to your height by worrying. Those who serve God and love God can trust him to provide. Excessive fear over material things is a form of serving money, not the Lord. That's the idea that the word therefore at the start of our passage is referring to. If we love and serve Christ, we can trust in his provision. This doesn't mean God will provide worldly comfort so we can have lavish lifestyles, but it does mean that God is pleased to provide and sustain us in our needs. In our needs. I remember when I was in finish up high school, I was looking for another job, earn some money to buy clothes and other materials for uni. I was worried at the time that I wouldn't find anything, but I had to, trust that God would provide, a good job. So I did some praying, and I also worked at handing out resumes to the local area. I was very fortunate that people had gotten back to me in the interview process and actually landed an outdoor brand job. Which I'm very thankful for in hindsight. I get to buy discounted clothes, but also go about being a blessing to other people with a job and its perks. I look back and I can see God's hand in providing this for me, even though I was nervous and I was worried. And I'm super thankful for that. God is with us and he is providing for us. As our human nature tempts us to fear and to have anxiety, we actually have the opportunity to turn to God. Turn to God who actually knows our needs. He cares about them. We can turn to him in faith, trusting in his precious care and his ability to provide. So to recap, we have a God who says that we are precious and of value, and a God who provides for us. And now we come to the pinnacle of our passage tonight. Jesus has been demonstrating how these earthly things, these material things, that God knows that we need, and he actually goes about providing for us and caring for us, shouldn't be our main worry. He's highlighting that these things, although they're important to live life, shouldn't consume us. They shouldn't eat us alive with worry. God actually has an eternal kingdom plan. This plan doesn't merely meet our earthly needs, but also our spiritual needs. And this should be our prime concern as followers of Jesus. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look with me at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? And what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, God knows what this life entails and the worries and stresses that it brings. He knows our needs, the clothes we have to wear, the food and water to sustain us and our body. Everybody needs these things in life, even the pagans and people who don't know God. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The context of these things being given to you as well in this verse are the basic needs of life, food and clothing. It's not suggesting that God will provide an endless supply of material blessings. Sometimes we actually may find ourselves in need. But seeking first the kingdom of God means to put God's priorities as our top priorities. If we believe in the grace and mercy of Jesus, our prime concern or our prime motivator should be the God's eternal kingdom and his righteousness. It's about getting on board with a plan for his eternal kingdom, a place that will last forever and be filled with the people who believe and worship Jesus as their king. I actually want to see other people come to know Jesus and see his name glorified. What would that look for us? What would that look like for us, you may be asking? Well, firstly, God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and it's one that centers on Jesus. So actually building his kingdom here on earth, where we live now, looks like being followers of Jesus who make his name known. If the kingdom is about Jesus and his name, we want to make his name known. It involves preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus and the rescue plan he has for the world. A world that needs to know these things, a world that needs to know Jesus. A world, that is going to be renewed by Jesus. A world and the things of it, which will pass away, but it's actually going to be being renewed into a new world, a new heaven and new earth in the language of Revelation chapter 22. Building the kingdom of God involves reaching out to the lost people. It involves making disciples. It involves loving each other, loving God. Kingdom living is centered, focusing on the things that will last into eternity. Our other prime concern is seeking God's righteousness, seeking first God's righteousness. This is essentially saying that we have to be right with God and then seek to live God's way. To be right with God is to come to know and trust in Jesus and his work on the cross. The only way to be right with God is through Jesus. Jesus does the work in clearing our debt, paying the penalty for our sin against God. We have a relationship with God because of Jesus' work. Seeking first God's righteousness also means living for Jesus in our restored relationship with him. We've been brought near by Jesus' blood, and now we live for him. That's a daily thing. This daily thing also means that we invest time and actually return to God when we stray, when we fall short. Our relationship also means that we take time and energy in our communication and listening. We search, we listen, we digest the words of Scripture, and we pray and listen to what God is saying. Ongoing repentance over a particular sin may actually need to occur in our lives as well, as we seek to live for the kingdom and God's righteousness. So, God knows our needs and worries over material things. Our passage says that plainly. That's part of life. He knows we need them, but they shouldn't consume us. God's kingdom and righteousness should be our prime concern as followers of Jesus. Kingdom living, with our lives focused on the things that will last into eternity. And this is where we turn to our prayer lives. I wonder, when we pray, are our prayers shaped by God's plan for his kingdom? Do they contain the gospel going out and bearing fruit? People hearing and believing in the good news of Jesus? Are our prayers concerned with God's priorities? Do we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, with an earnest and soft heart? Or do we focus on our shopping needs, shopping lists of needs? Perhaps that prayer for immediate comfort in a material way. I want to stress again that God actually knows our needs, and he knows them so deeply. That is why, for example, we pray, give us today our daily bread. Are our lives shaped by Jesus' kingdom that is now but also not yet to come? In conclusion, we live in a time and age where we are bombarded by information, making decisions, worrying and challenging. It's very easy to let worry about the immediate things in front of us take hold of us, things that are here and now. This has happened in my life, and it almost certainly has happened in your life. We get tunnel vision about the things right in front of us. We have to not lose sight of the kingdom that God is building. God is building an eternal kingdom, one that's not going to spoil or fade or perish. And we actually have a relationship by the grace and mercy of Jesus to partner with God in building God's kingdom. Will we turn our eyes increasingly on him and make his kingdom plans our plans too? Make God's priorities our priority. God is inviting us to see just how amazing he is. He knows our needs. He knows our worries. Why is it not worth getting consumed by worry? We have a God who says that we are precious and of value, and a God who provides for us, and a God who has an eternal kingdom plan. He knows what we need to live. May he help us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. For the praise of his glory and of his name. Amen.